Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, welcome in. HananiahAutos.com studio, vibrant place tonight. By the way, programming note, we will not be on the next two Thursdays. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I fully anticipate that Jeff will have so... Well, what am I saying, Jeff? Tony will be comatose.
Where's the pecan pie?
Yeah, exactly. That, see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I hear you.
So we won't be here next week. He will not be here next
week. That was for
you.
I asked you a question. Where's the pecan pie?
Pecan.
I don't know. When are you going to bring something up in here?
I don't know, but
Rookie, right? Rookie in the booth, aren't you responsible for bringing in food every now and again?
We're going to have a holiday show, but not next week and not the week after.
The week after.
That's the Texans game back here.
So,
3 weeks from tonight, we're going to have some sort of or 4 weeks from tonight, have some sort of a holiday show.
That's a good idea.
Which is
food.
Yeah, food.
Dessert.
Why don't you bring the pecan pie?
See, there it goes.
He's signing.
You.
Why don't you bring the
pecan
pie?
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'll bring some fried
turkey.
He's
going to eat it.
Jeez.
You don't like fried turkey?
Huh? I like fried turkey.
If he's going to bring the fried turkey, we'll have to plan this thing pretty carefully.
Bring fried turkey.
You got to do something that raises the bar, Baselli.
Mm.
Something that raises the bar.
I just want some pecan pie.
I'll make it happen.
Bring it for a Thursday night game.
What kind of a pie do you want?
Pecan.
There you go.
I got to remember.
Hey, look, if he's going to suck up, he might as well suck up all the way and
That's
go with the pecan
right.
thing. But you get him out of here, he says pecan. I just want you to know that.
Mm-hmm. Pecan.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
This is the man that's got a goal to lose weight, and he's wanting pecan pies.
Absolutely.
Well, he thinks he can do it in
March
60 days.
I'll get there. Don't worry. I'll be fine.
There is no chance. March 1st, 280. I'm sorry. Football.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, we can talk about almost anything in here this evening, but my question to you is, where would you rather be right now? You know, in Houston with the Texans in the way they are, or here in Jacksonville where you have a virtual blank slate? And the reason I ask that is because you look at this Texans team, and they've got a quarterback issue, they have a running back issue, they have a salary cap issue, and they got to solve a bunch of those. And the reason that they've got problems is that their salary cap is maxed out. They got some issues.
Yeah,
there's always ways around that.
I will say this, is that, you can find ways to solve cap problems. It's much harder to solve talent problems. And the Houston Texans have talent.
I agree, Jeff, there.
They're not having a good year, and sometimes that happens to good football teams to where things just don't seem to go their way and some performances at critical points aren't there.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not denying that they are vastly more talented than this football team. But when you look at where Dave Caldwell is with a blank slate in terms of his roster and his salary cap, he's got a real shot here to start building.
You got to go sign. You got to go find players. I mean,
that's what they're doing. Is
my point is, that I agree with Jeff. I mean, you got Andre Johnson. He's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Brown.
Older.
Oh, but he's still. I mean,
I'm not knocking his production, but I mean, it's kind of at the end.
Okay, Dwayne Brown. Young player,
good football
really good
player.
Yeah.
Chris Myers for a center, 9 year. I mean, you got three or four left in him.
Maybe.
DeAndre Hopkins is a good player. Ben Tate is a outstanding.
But he's
back.
A free agent.
Really good back.
Well, I mean,
he's a free agent.
How many years? Is he four in?
Four years. And the salary cap numbers Arian Foster.
They'll get rid of some of those guys.
All right. But as
Antonio Smith.
As you
JJ
get rid of
Watt,
some of these guys, your roster isn't quite as strong.
I'll take those two guys.
Oh, buddy. Brian Cushing.
Brian Cushing, when he's healthy. Jonathan Joseph's a good player. Kareem Jackson is above average, not great. Their safeties are awful.
Yep.
I can't help but wonder if they haven't missed their turn, because now they got to go back and develop a quarterback.
That's where it starts.
Well, they might have to learn a new system.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens with Gary Kubiak.
They're not getting rid of Kubiak's coming back.
You think so?
Yeah. Not.
You're going to guarantee it?
No chance. Knowing what I know about Bob McNair, the Houston Texans owner, and what Gary Kubiak's done in bringing the franchise to the back-to-back division titles, playoffs, there's no way he's fired after this year. No way.
And he will be assured of not being fired if Case Keenum continues to develop.
He looked awful. He didn't look very good last week, though.
No, he didn't look good last week, but you know what? He reminds me – and holy cow, anybody that could speak to this would be you, Mark. Watching Brett Favre when he was young, he would try to create a lot of times, and you could tell that Mike Holmgren had to kind of rein him in to get him a little bit more under control and to say, hey, look, just let the process kind of unfold before you try to create. That's what Case Keenum kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And getting back to the Brett thing, Brett just had a lot of bad plays. And it took him a few years to just stay away from the bad plays.
And now, Keenum doesn't have them, though.
No, he doesn't. I mean,
turn the ball over.
Yeah, he's got 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. Mm-hmm. For a young kid like that at this point, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but let's not compare it to Brett Favre.
It's apples and oranges.
Brett Favre has a rocket for a right arm. Case Keenum's not very big. He's 6'1".
I wasn't trying to make the comparison saying, similar players.
No, but he is.
The way he plays
the game. He has some moxie out there making plays. We were watching one play, and both Mark and I were saying, throw it away. And he doesn't throw it away. Runs away from a guy, stops at the sideline, and throws it for a touchdown. It's like, I'm glad you didn't throw it away.
Exactly.
So I agree with you at that point. I mean, he does have some, you know, of those intangibles, makes plays happen. He's extends stuff. He's a fiery kid. They named him the starter, even though they benched him and went with Matt Schaub, who I think he looked fine.
I think the smartest thing that he does is he finds Andre Johnson.
That's not a bad idea right there. Get it to number 80.
Well, although Matt Schaub tried to do that and bit him in the butt.
He tried to at the end of the game, but did you see the one where Andre Johnson fell down? He had single high safety, and Matt Schaub never even looked that way. Mark Brunell, can you imagine lining up under center? You take the snap. You got Jimmy Smith on your right, single high safety, and you look left to throw to
whoever.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Take your pick.
Elvis Whitted,
right? Okay. I mean, hello?
Right.
Matt Schaub did that, and then the corner falls down. Andre Johnson would have had a touchdown, and Schaub never even looked there.
Listen, if you've got man coverage, and it doesn't matter who's covering Andre, you go there. That's what we did with Jimmy. I mean, I lived off that. If we get one-on-one coverage, forget down and distance.
Check,
anything.
82.
Throw it to Jimmy. He's going to win, and that's Andre.
We never got man, though.
Yeah. Didn't get a lot of man.
No.
All right, 355-NFL-1. Let's grab some phone calls. The Metro PCS call-in line is up and active. Chris joins us from the West Side. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I don't watch a lot of tape, and by a lot, I mean I don't watch any tape at all. But I know who does. I trust your opinion on this. And I ask this question because I don't remember why he fell in the draft, but what is it that J.J. Watt does not do well? And I'll take that off the air, guys.
Nothing.
He's amazing.
Absolutely nothing. He is the complete package. He can play the run. He can play the pass. He plays with great effort. He plays with great intensity. He doesn't take plays off. When he is off the field getting a blow, teams usually have success. He has no weakness at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's very good. Good all-around player.
There you have it.
You know, if you had to go back,
you know, the one thing,
and redraft the 2011,
he'd be first. Yeah, pick.
Name the top players.
Well,
I mean,
Cam Newton might still stay quarterback, Carolina.
Okay, he's number two then.
Well, and Von Miller has played very, very well.
But still JJ number two.
Okay,
still number two. Keep going.
Marcell Dareus in Buffalo. Yep. AJ Green in Cincinnati. Nope. He's a wide receiver. Nope. Patrick Peterson, a very good player. Julio Jones, excellent player.
That's a great draft.
It's one of the best drafts in recent memory.
Rattling off some good ones.
Yeah, best drafts in recent memory. He went 11th to the Houston Texans, and the reason that he slid, if that's sliding, was he was a 3-4 defensive end in college, and he didn't. I mean, he was dominant. I remember the Rose Bowl against TCU, where he just destroyed everyone. But nobody saw him as being this kind of player, other than Wade Phillips.
You know, the only thing and it's not a weakness. And I know Jeff does this when he watches tape as a defensive end. You kind of game plan. What would you do against that offensive tackle if you were playing against him? And if you watch J.J. Watt, he is so big, and he's a powerful individual. And I think people, offensive linemen, fall for that, and they try to play a power game with him. And if you watch what J.J. does, he is a finesse player. Now, he has the ability to play, but he has some of the best hips and suddenness that you see. I mean, he can give you the, you know.
J.J. Watt's a finesse player? Are you kidding me?
No, but in the sense of people, because he's so big, they try to power, and then he uses his quickness and his speed.
Just state that a little bit better, because saying his finesse is way off.
No, he has a great finesse game.
Yeah.
And that's what he play. That's how he wins more times than not.
It's just not one dimensional.
If I played against J.J. Watt, I would take away the finesse and say, if you want to beat me, you're gonna have to power me. And if you watch what teams do, the teams who have better success, that's what they do. The guys who get in there, they get caught lunging. He is so quick, and he's so sudden in his ability to win at the line of scrimmage. That's why he gets so many tackles for the loss. He's in the backfield. I mean, you almost have to force him. Now, he has the ability to play power, too. He's a big, strong guy. But if I'm playing J.J. Watt, that's what I'm saying. Listen, if you're going to beat me, you're going to have to power me.
I'd like to see that matchup.
He's a great player.
How often do you see a guy who's what? What do they list him at?
6'5", 290 pounds.
6'5", 290, and, I mean, he's sculpted.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
it's not like he's, you know, he's got a little dumpiness to him or he's got a little belly. I mean, this guy is – he is yoked up.
But the amazing thing about him, Jeff, is when I watch him is the athletic ability he has. And I'm telling you, that's why he is so dominant. Because you look at a man that size playing that position, you would not typically worry about the finesse. You would worry about the power and giving it. Like when you play Antonio Smith, who's a very good player in his own right, he's a big, strong, powerful human being that you better anchor and be ready to play because it's going to be a physical.
He's going to jack you up.
That's not J.J. Watt. No, J.J. can do it. But J.J. is, man, he is on an edge. He's, you know, taking his hip, you know, his hip and his shoulder away. He's a swim move here. He's getting into a gap.
But last year, you know, one of his signature moves last year was that power inside arm
one
move.
One arm move.
And he's not using it as much this year. But he's still got the ability to use it.
Well, I don't know why guys just don't knock it off. That's what I don't understand. Every time I see that, I'm like, knock his hand off you. He'll fall. And they don't, for whatever reason.
He's got like, you know, 39, 40-inch sleeve length.
Yeah, but that's why you knock it off, Jeff. You don't try to stop it. Knock it off.
It's kind of hard to knock it off when you're on your heels, though. I mean, because that's typically where those guys position are in.
The thing that's really impressive, and Pete Prisco sat down with him for a story that he did for CBSSportsLine.com, and he was telling us about this back when we first started the Monday Night Show. He said he gets it. He understands what being a pro is all about, what you eat, the lifestyle that you lead. Doesn't have a lot of girls, doesn't have a lot of parties, likes to hang out at home, eats all the right food, understands that now is his time.
I wish more guys were like that.
He's great. He is a joy to watch.
Sounds like he needs to live a little bit more.
Well, I think he's going to live as soon as he gets that contract. He's a bargain. You know what his cap number is this year? $3.5 million.
Really? Well, they got issues, too, because, I mean, you're going to have to cut some people to sign him one day.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier in the beginning about why the Texans roster situation might be in a little turmoil.
If you had to pay him today, free agent market, what would he command?
Well, Mario Williams got $100
million. Oh,
I'm talking on per year.
Oh, well, he's
9 or 10?
No, 15.
Oh, yeah, quarterbacks are getting 20, and he's the guy that gets him. I'd say at least 15.
Yeah, he's still a D-lineman.
If he were on the market 15. Today...
He's getting
apples
15
and oranges, man.
I think he'd get even more than that.
Really?
I'll bet
he's
you.
He's getting 15.
If he were on the market today,
more than 15 million.
He would be over 15 million.
Well, premium left tackles are getting 12 to 14.
No doubt.
Wow.
Well, you're talking about a team that's
he would be in the quarterback stratosphere.
Close, but not all the way. Not in the Peyton Manning era,
not the
but
top,
close.
Not the top you know, five
no,
guys.
No, not top five. But I mean, if he were,
well, he'd be the highest paid defensive player in the game.
Oh, yeah, gosh,
without question,
right. He's the best defensive player in the game.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. And that's again why I was saying, and let's end the segment with the way we started it. When you look at them, with that defense, with him on it, they'll have a chance to be really good.
But here's the thing,
and they'll put talented guys around him, no doubt.
But here's the problem with that defense right now. What teams are doing, Arizona did it, and Arizona took him out of the game. I mean, they were – and that's not a great offensive line. And talking to Bruce Arians before our game, he said, listen, our game plan is we were going to beat the you-know-what out of him. And if Antonio Smith made a play here or there, fine. If these guys – because they can't win outside. Whitney Mercilus and Brooks Reed, they can't win one-on-one.
Oh, by the way, J.J. Watt missed practice yesterday with the back, so they must have done a pretty good job of beating him up.
Oh, and they beat him up against Oakland went after him, too. Now, he still has he still makes
plays
his play.
Oh, yeah. He had made plays against Cardinals, too, now.
Yeah. But they beat – I mean, you could see he's a whoop dog at the end. I mean, they're going at him. And if you look
– I wouldn't say a whoop dog.
Well, I'm just telling you what I saw. But the reason they can get away with that is because Antonio Smith can win, but Earl Mitchell can't win at nose. Brooks Reed can't win it outside backer, and Whitney Mercilus can't win outside backer. And so you can take J.J. Watt, and where last year, you know, Connor Barwin wasn't a great player, but he can win. I mean, they had much better effect of getting after the quarterback. And
you know what I'm feeling? I'm feeling Mercedes. You go ahead and block Brooks Reed, you know, or Whitney Merciless, and then we'll let Paz Dor and Uche try to block number 99.
Try, you say?
Not many people.
I'm just underlining,
can do it consistently. You know, I say try, but I mean, you know, game plan. I mean, that would be the game plan.
Yeah, we can talk about this forever and ever. I do want to point out the fact, you know, when you look at the numbers, they're the number one defense in the league. They get teams off the field three plays and out 30% of the time, which is right near the very best in the National Football League. They've only given up one 100-yard rusher. That was Rashad Jennings last week, who had an 80-yard touchdown.
And where are they ranked in the passing game?
Not very
cards
good.
Right here. In the passing game, they are one. Their number one defense.
They're number one in passing?
Their number one passing defense,
mm-hmm.
168. But they're 23rd on the ground. Here's the number that gets me, what I wanted to get to. They're minus 11 this year in the turnover ratio, but they only have 8 takeaways. I mean, 4 fumbles recovered and 4 interceptions. And with a guy like J.J. Watt, as disruptive as he is, you would think that that would create more. But it hasn't. So I guess what I'm asking is, when you look at this defense, number one and all, they are giving up 28 points a game, which is 28th in the NFL. How?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not just them.
Yeah, the offense helps.
Their offense is helping, too.
That's the problem.
True. They have thrown because
ranking is total points allowed.
Yeah, right. No, you're right.
That's not doesn't factor in defensive points allowed.
And 40 of the points this year have come off of that. 5 pick sixes by Schaub and T.J. Yates, 4 by Schaub. 2 fumbles recovered for touchdowns and a punt return touchdown.
40 points?
Well, 7 of those are directly on the offense.
So 42 points.
And then you got another. How many on special teams?
2.
One.
So that's
49.
I mean, that's
48 points.
Yeah.
That brings the average down a little bit.
48 points. Games have they played? 10?
10.
So that's 5 points a game. So they're still giving up 22, 23 points a game.
For the number one offense defense, and one that over the last couple of years.
That's a lot of points for that.
For them.
Yeah.
We got lots to talk about this evening, and we'll take your calls on the Metro PCS call-in line, 800-355-NFL1. You can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion to your Southern Ford dealer today. Ford is a proud partner of the Jaguars. Go further. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Well, visit Jaguars.com. Check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news, plus a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. So here's the question for you.
I love, just to give everyone insight of how this whole thing works, I love, you know, during the break, hey, where do you guys want to go? We're going to, and no one says anything, and then you just tell us where we're going.
Well, if you're not going to step into the void and tell me what you want to talk about, I'll fill it.
I think it was like one of those questions my wife asked me. Like, that's a wife question.
Oh, so now I'm a wife.
Interesting.
They ask a question with the answer already known, what the answer is going
to
be.
What do you want to talk about, big fella?
I'm just saying.
No, come on.
Don't ask us questions.
What did I say?
You already have the answer.
What did I say?
I said,
where do you want to go?
Don't take that.
I know.
Talking about you like it's.
I said, right, like I'm his wife. Right, exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
So here's what I said. I said, where do you want to go?
And then
what was your answer? What was your answer?
Before I could answer, you're like, we're going to talk about offense, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Oh, no.
It's like my wife.
Oh, no.
When
you answered. Do you want me to tell everybody what your answer was?
When your wife, my wife goes.
Just keep going on the wife thing. Just keep going on the wife thing, and I'm nailing you.
Tell it. Tell it.
He said home.
I did not.
You did, too. You know, you keep calling me your wife. I'm not taking that crap from you.
I want to go home.
I admire you. Your name's on the wall, and you're one of the best players in the history of the franchise, but I'm not your wife.
I want to go home.
Ask questions like my wife.
I
like,
asked you.
What do you want to do?
Did I say that?
I love when she. It's like
Brunel.
Hey, what do you want to do?
How do you put
and
up with
before
this
I can answer? It's like
20 years of it.
We're
going
to do this.
You know, it's not like
so
I said.
Why don't you just tell me what we're going to do?
It's okay. Well, it's not like I said. Where do you want to eat? And then I chose the restaurant.
No, it's basically what you did though.
That would be a big problem.
That's basically what you did though. That's exactly what you did.
I get the feeling that Tony, somebody urinated in his Wheaties this morning, and he rolled up in here today.
It was
today,
the same way last week.
A little salty.
I'm good.
Last week. Last week he had a headache, and today somebody urinated in his Wheaties.
So here's the story.
Close. I woke up, my truck had a flat tire, I had to change it.
I'm the host, but you're the show. So where do you want to go?
Wherever you want. wherever you want, my darling.
Sweetheart.
Sweetheart, whatever you like to do.
Let's stop this line right now. Sweetheart. Because someone's Twitter's going to explode, and it better not be mine.
Sweetheart, let's talk about offense.
You know, I really want
to talk about offense, sweetheart.
No, I'm done. Mark, jump in here, please.
Someone's got
20 years
this
of
up.
This. Yeah, you got to stop it.
That's my guy.
Well, here's what I want to know. And I'm not going back to the quarterback question because we beat that one to death.
Well, are you? I'm surprised because you bring it up at the end of every broadcast. You and Jeff, every broadcast. Yeah. So are we going to start talking about the quarterback now? Like, here we go again.
Well, here's the question then.
I'm like, do you have like a quota in your contract? Do you have to ask that question once a week?
No.
Okay.
No, but if it works, if I would get paid off of it, you'd have it in your contract next week. So here's the story.
True enough.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Here's what I want to know.
Okay.
The quarterback, really, we found out last week, is inconsequential to the equation in terms of where this offense is, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. When you're throwing – Mike Brown's not out there. When you're throwing to Kerry Taylor and, you know, I mean, all of a sudden now, it really doesn't seem to matter who's at quarterback for this team, not these two guys in particular. My question is, how does this offense get better over the final 6 weeks when, you know, Mike Brown's in and out of the lineup, you know, Cecil's getting doubled, and he's obviously not real happy about that. You know, we've got Cam Bradfield, who's played well at times, and Austin Pazder, who's over and played well at times. I mean, you've got an offense that you want to see improvement on, but you don't have a lot of stars
run
and
the ball.
Guys that you do have.
You got to run the ball better.
But they haven't done it at all this year.
Yeah, but I mean, tonight on the Gus Bradley show, he talked about Jordan Todman getting more reps. And, look, I'm not saying that, you know, Maurice has gotten demoted, because he hasn't. But
what was the number that we looked at?
But, I mean, it's... That's a change.
Well, and he's certainly quick enough. Here's Mike. What was the number we looked at? The number of 100-yard games by the Jaguars. Not 100-yard individual performances, but 100 yards
as an offense.
As an offense. How many times do you think
rushing.
They've done it in the last 16? Yeah.
Zero.
In the last 16 games, they've done it twice.
Going back to none this year.
To December of last year.
Total
yards,
total yards
rushing as a team in a game.
But we don't have any this year.
None.
Yeah, that's why I said
one
zero.
100-yard
right.
game. Wow. And you think Todman?
Here's another question for
makes
you.
Makes a big difference?
I'd give
10 games played this year, right? How many games has Maurice been over 3 yards of carry?
Zero. Or maybe one.
Four.
No.
Four.
I would have said
four. 6 games at 3.0 or less a carry. I mean, we're talking about a guy who
I'm surprised it's even
career
four.
Numbers. I mean, well, it's because you're, you know, glasses half empty kind of a guy.
No, I'm just surprised.
But I mean, we're talking about a guy whose career numbers are over four easy. I mean, he's never had a season less than what, Brian? Yards per carry average.
Well, I'm just looking here real quick at this year, and he had a 4.1 game against San Diego, but he only carried
one
the ball
in San Francisco.
That doesn't count.
Well, but that's his average.
It does.
He had
nine carries, though.
He had 4 weeks, and guess which 4 weeks they were? The 4 weeks that Justin Blackmon was on the field. St. Louis, Denver, San Diego, San Francisco.
Interesting.
Those 4 weeks, he was over three. Any other week,
wait a second. Don't say over three like that. Like it's some big monumental. Yeah. Like he was over three. Yes.
Well, when you're talking about 1.6 and 2.0,
I know, but you can't say it that way. If he's over four, that's
okay. I'll
good,
back off. His
right?
career his career average is still 4.5 yards per.
Yeah,
carry.
That's, all, that's big time. I mean, so how many carries is how many rushing attempts? Look at tell me, Brian, how many rushing attempts a game are we got right now, on average? I mean, just best ballpark it.
Yeah, I got it.
16.
We're only getting 16 carries a game?
Well, I mean, there's been some games where you don't have many and you're bringing them down.
You got 225 rushes as a team.
Okay.
But you've got to take out 14 by Henny and 9 by Gabbert.
So take 25 out.
That's 23 out. So 200.
200 over 10 games, 20 a game.
Yeah.
That's not very many. You got to run the ball.
Well, they've fallen behind.
Well, you got to convert first downs to get more than 20 a game.
You got to stay in the field.
You know, it kind of all works together.
Let's say you get 25 carries a game. How many of those should you give Mojo?
Right now?
Yeah.
15?
I was going to say a little higher. I was going to say
if it's
18,
25 carries.
Yeah. 25. No, it's 25. I was going to say I would give, if it was me.
Okay.
These are the maximums I would give each guy. 15 from Reese.
Now, would you ask him or would you just tell him?
I'm the coach, right?
You just call the play.
Am I the coach?
Yeah, you're
then
the coach.
I'm just going to tell him. I'm going to go 15 with MJD. I'm going to go 5 to 7 with Todman, and then the rest with Denard.
All right.
I got to get speed on the field. I got to get Denard and Todman on the field. They're speed. I got to find out. I want to see what Denard can do.
All right, we got much more to go here. We
Am
got
I wrong?
No.
Thank you.
Am I You're never wrong. Yeah, no, you're never wrong, honey. It's brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. News is next on News Talk WOKV. Now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back to Jaguars Thursday. This portion brought to you by Fanatics.com. Here's Tony Baselli.
Hey, how we doing, boys?
I hear Michael Buffer somewhere.
I got a video.
Good.
Video?
Got a video.
Post it.
I will. Later.
A little bit of a wrestling match.
Yeah, a little bit of a wrestling
match.
With
the pride of the Jaguars.
I'll just say this.
Mano y mano.
I was violated.
Violated?
Violated. Where's HR? Sexual assault.
Oh, I didn't see any of that.
Did you just
say
that?
Oh, I felt it.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I had you right where I wanted you.
Trust me.
We were on break. We had to go on air. I had you right where I wanted you.
There's a part of the region of the body that I'm not very comfortable with.
Hey, I got to give you credit, though. I mean, he outweighs you. He's bigger than you. You didn't even hesitate. You got up. You went after.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Scrappy guy. Wants to fight.
Listen, don't. You know,
Tony needs to breathe for a bit.
I know which is why I put him on.
Your attitude's not very.
You're talking about attitude.
Well, I mean, listen.
You have the worst attitude. These last 2 weeks, really poor.
I have a great attitude.
You're terrible.
Just because
my head hurts. I had to change a tire.
Do you want to talk about changing tires?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
What should we talk about?
What would you like to talk about?
My bloody lip right now.
Well,
boys will be boys.
We talked about the run game.
Yeah, we did talk about the running game.
And we talked about where this team can get better. And you look at the weapons outside, and it's not. What's the status of Mike Brown?
Don't know yet.
They hope that he can practice tomorrow.
Limited.
So, listen.
Didn't practice.
No. Listen, this is what I'm about to say. I mean, we're hoping Mike Brown can go.
Yeah, I know.
If not.
No, but Jeff, listen to that statement. We are hoping Mike Brown can go.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning Mike Brown right now, and kudos to him. But you would hope he's your fourth guy. If he's your fourth guy, I mean, you are.
Hey, I'm with Cecil. They just need to throw him the ball.
Give him the ball.
Okay, I agree.
Get open?
Did you watch the film?
I did.
Was there a lot of times to throw the ball?
No, but there were some.
There were some. No, I agree.
But you know, I've always believed in that if you have – and look, and I'm not saying Cecil is Megatron or any other, you know, elite
AJ
receiver.
AJ Green, Andre Johnson.
You know, I'm just saying is that he's the best you got.
Oh, by far.
And you got to find a way to get the best you got the ball.
No question.
And I don't know – I almost got the impression from watching that game – that they felt like Patrick Peterson is on him. We need to look elsewhere.
I agree.
And hey, look, you can't do that if that's your best guy, and he's your best guy. And so I've got no problem with what Cecil said. You know what I mean?
I do.
And I think
when he said it, how he said it.
But you know what? Cecil said it in such a non-inflammatory way.
Oh,
I'm okay
on,
with
it. Completely inflammatory. When you're the guy, and after a game, and you say something, saying I want the ball, they're not giving
me
the ball.
Wait a minute. Is that any different than what Keenan McCardell said in the locker room, Mark?
Yeah, it's.
Is
a
that
lot
any
different,
you know, than
what
Jimmy
thought,
Smith said?
No, I always
Jimmy
thought
never
those
said
guys.
It.
Jimmy didn't say a thing.
Never.
Keenan, not to the media.
It's not what
That's
you say.
It's okay. Say it behind closed doors.
Exactly.
When you say it to the media,
it blows up.
That's the problem. And listen, I actually saw Cecil at an event outside of the. I'm a big Cecil fan. I think he's outstanding. I get his frustration. He's the ultimate competitor. He wants to win. They're 1-9. Things boil over. You get emotional. You say things. I think Cecil regrets.
You're getting to be an old crotchety ex-ball player.
I think.
You know what? I mean, so what if he says it? Does it hurt anybody? No.
Yeah, it does. It does.
No.
Yeah, it does.
No, it has.
There's absolutely nothing wrong
that's
with Cecil
the, that's
feeling
not the
that
Cecil
way.
Wants to play.
But you know what?
I mean,
there's that is not the venue to voice your opinions. You just don't do it. If you have a problem, you go to the head man. If you go have a problem, you go to
OC.
Just communicate with them. Say, listen, give me the ball. You know, let's talk this out, but through the airwaves, yeah, it's just not the way to
I
do
agree.
It.
But I think
he didn't mean any malice.
You know, it doesn't matter what he meant.
It doesn't matter.
Said it,
no,
yeah.
I know that, but I'm just saying he didn't mean any malice. In that, I'm okay with a guy having that attitude because we played with so many guys.
I agree with that. But are you okay with him saying it to the media?
I would rather him not, but okay. I know what's in
way.
His heart.
I agree with that. I like you. Know,
so that's why it didn't bother me either.
Yeah, so
we
that's what I'm okay with.
I agree with that.
Because I know what kind of a player he is. I know what he does every day in practice. We watch it all through training camp.
I think all say that, Jeff, and we all agree with that. And Gus, I think, if you look at his comments, he gave Cecil a pass, but then said, let's not make a habit of this. Because I think he knows that Cecil is the type of a good guy, competitor. He's a team guy. He's not trying to cause trouble. And talking to Cecil, I think he regrets, not that, I think he believes what he feels and he wants the ball. I think he regrets what Mark said of communicating it through the press.
But I give him credit because the next day, he said, look, I said what I said, you know, and he didn't backtrack or try to soften
it.
He
was frustrated.
Kind of like Brunell saying the team was going to move to Jacksonville.
Why is he?
He just owned up to it.
It's all good.
Why is he trying to do that to you? That's kind of
– had to have a little fun with Mark.
That's
there.
Weak. No,
watch it. Mark's going to come across the table at you next.
He's tired now. He's kind of ready.
Actually, I'm getting my air back. I'm ready to roll here. Let's go. Yeah.
But the point is well taken. You know, it's kind of surprising that he hasn't been frustrated already. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first four games he had to play – you know, as the primary guy with no one on the other side of the field. And then he got four games. And, you know, and now all of a sudden the last couple of games has been difficult for him. Plus, you know, they're 3-23 since the beginning of last year. And, you know, it's a credit to Gus and his staff that the locker room didn't have more of that this mm-hmm. year. One example of it is one that Gus can take and say, hey, which he did. You know, let's not get out of control with this.
I think Gus handled it perfectly because, I mean, Gus knows what's in Cecil's heart.
Yeah, he knows who he is.
And what kind of a person he is. I mean, so it's no big deal. You know, move on. And I don't think it's a big deal. But, you know, it will be interesting to watch because as a player and you said something, now you got to back it up.
Can John Joseph or Kareem
Jackson
take Cecil out of the game like Patrick Peterson did?
No, they don't play that style.
Okay. Well, I mean, he had three catches last year for 81 yards, had that 67-yard touchdown. Remember, that was the big game where the Jags lost in overtime. So I'm just wondering, you know, can he
get
open this week?
They're not nearly as good as Patrick Peterson.
This is the week, and I agree with Jeff, get Cecil the ball. Find ways to put the ball in his hands, not because of what he said, but because it's your best option. You're not running the ball, you got to throw it, and you've got to go to your best guy. You got to go to Cecil.
All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We got a food question.
You notice one thing?
Get it? Yeah.
You know one group that never is complaining about wanting the ball is the offensive line. You never have these problems with the offensive linemen. They're not smart enough. No, they are smart enough. They're the smartest people in the room, and they're the most unselfish people in the room. So every other position group you get this from except for the offensive line. Just a little food for thought.
Oh, are you kidding? Speaking of food, let's grab Craig real quick on the south side. Hello, Craig.
Brian, you're doing a great show as always.
What about the other guys on the show? Nothing.
Craig, thanks for calling.
A little off topic, I realize, but, you know, next week is Thanksgiving. I'd like to go around the room.
Does Craig call every week? Craig's been on before. Goodness sakes, Craig.
I like you guys. Logs, I want to start with you.
Okay.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving dinner? Is it boar or fowl?
No, it's actually traditional. It's ham, turkey, and all the fixings. Mm. And that'll be for about 4 days, because I can't eat just one day.
I love it.
Mm. What about you, Mark?
Traditional. We actually might change it up. We may go with the fried turkey. That is
traditional. What are you talking
about?
Well,
not South. Not in the South, it is. But when you're from California, fried turkeys is, you know, we haven't got there yet. But actually, one of my coaches wants to smoke a turkey for us this year. I haven't had a smoked turkey yet,
Pass.
So we may try that. No,
go fry her out.
How about you,
go
Tony? What are you thinking?
Brian, you're first.
No. I'm letting Baselli answer this one first.
Well, it is my favorite holiday of the year.
There's no doubt.
And we went to the fried turkey route years ago. Became Southerners. We're gonna go a lot of fried turkey. We'll bake one turkey just so we can get the stuffing inside the turkey and nice and moist.
Nah.
Just one of them. We'll have two or three fried turkeys, one baked. Sweet potatoes, some yams, just candy yams, homemade mashed potatoes,
You're getting everything you wanted here,
pecan
Craig.
Pecan pie.
What kind of pie?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Pecan.
He said pecan. He said pecan.
Pecan, I said. Pecan.
Roll the tape. He said pecan.
Whatever. Pecan, pecan, I'm going to eat it. pumpkin pie, some apple pie, some green beans, lots of gravy over everything.
I can actually hear you getting fatter already right now.
I'll probably have a little salad just to start it to make sure that the roughage just kind of keep things moving.
Nah, that's disgusting. A lot of information. Just takes up space.
Just trying to help.
Yeah, no, you gave Craig everything he wanted.
Where, yeah, and then a couple, you know. And typically what I do is I'll eat around two or three.
That's first?
Yeah, it's the first.
Or second?
That's first. So two
kind
or
like
three.
The Hobbit, right? First
you
breakfast, second breakfast.
Yeah, and then you have a dessert, and then you go lay down and watch a little football. Maybe take a 30-minute nap, and then you go load up for round two. And then you get your second dessert. And then typically, right before bed, you get a sandwich.
Do you?
And then a
you
piece
gotta
of,
be kidding
and
me,
then
man.
A piece of pie to make sure everything's getting question. Flushed.
No wonder you're how like long, 350.
How long do the leftovers last in your house with your son, who is a sophomore in high school and is a promising young football
well,
player?
That's why we go with the multiple turkeys now.
Because
I learned that if there's not enough turkey, I get really mad because he's eating as much or more than I am. So then all of a sudden... Because I'm a big turkey sandwich guy, so I like all the leftovers. And then the next day, I like waking up, and you get a couple pieces of bread, put mayonnaise. I like mayonnaise on both sides. Some turkey, some of the fried turkey, salt and pepper.
355.
Some
it's rising.
Some right cranberries, and then sometimes if you really want to top it off, you put a nice layer of stuffing, and then it's a good turkey sandwich.
This is one of our more interesting shows.
Well,
by
you know,
way.
Craig, I'm not even going to bother answering the question because Tony just gave such an in-depth, detailed look at Thanksgiving dinner. We need a break.
Yeah.
355 NFL.
I can't wait. I don't know if you can tell.
No, we can tell. A week from now, we'll be calling you. We'll take a break, come back, look at some of the games around the NFL, including tonight's tilt at the Georgia Dome after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, we got about 7 minutes. Time to look at some of the games around the NFL, and we'll start with tonight's game. Saints at Falcons. Doesn't seem like it'll be very much of a matchup. Although, you know, for those of us who know Mike Smith and admire him today, Arthur Blank says, I want him back in 2014, which is
dreaded.
Good.
Yeah, you got to bring back Smith.
It'd be crazy not to bring
year.
Him back.
He's a good football coach.
He's been the best coach that has ever been there in Atlanta. They just need to have.
Best coach ever?
Yeah.
Dan Reeves took him to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But nobody has been able to put together the consistency year in and year out.
As far
out.
As the
regular
body
season,
of work, yeah.
That's, I agree
and
with
Mike
that.
Smith.
No, you're right about that.
All right, well, so here's the question. You know, these two teams play to the very end on opening day. Is there any chance? I know Julio Jones is not there, and that's
no way.
A huge deal.
No way. Matt Ryan's playing bad. Drew Brees is on fire. The Falcons don't have a chance. If they do, I would be shocked.
Yeah, all right. I'm with you.
All right, to Sunday. The Buccaneers are at the Lions, and the Bucs have won two in a row. They pull Bobby Rainey off the practice squad, and he runs for 100 yards.
You know, I watched the Buccaneers play the Dolphins, and they did not look like a winless team that night. And I just – the Lions, I'm not a believer in the Lions. I mean, I'm not a believer in them at all.
I got the Lions.
Yeah, I'm
it's
going a, the
in
Lions
Detroit,
too.
Right?
It's it in is Detroit, in Detroit, yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, because they got the Thursday game following it, Thanksgiving
I'm
night.
I'm taking the Bucs.
Vikings at the Packers.
Packers.
Tolzien.
Yeah, I know. You know what? He's not. He's actually not playing really bad. He just has two or three.
He's great.
No, I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying he's got to stay away from the bad ones. He's got one or two bad.
You just said
plays.
He's not playing that bad. That is complete quarterback talk. All he's right. Awful.
Go to the next game. We're not.
I mean, really? No,
now.
I'm saying.
I'm just
question.
Saying the Packers are going to win because they can manage with Tolzien. They're going to beat the Vikings.
Do you think Tolzien's going to get the job done? That's all.
I think they're going to win. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm not saying he's Brett Favre. I'm saying he's going to. They're going to win the football game.
Adrian Peterson's a little nicked up.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'll go with Mark.
Packers defense.
I'll go with Mark. I believe in Tolzien.
All right, Chargers at the Chiefs. Chargers lost a couple in a row. You know, they came all the way out here and got beat last week by the
Dolphins.
That's
going to be a heck of a game. That's in San Diego?
No, it's at Kansas City. Here's an interesting stat. Kansas City had 35 sacks in their first seven games, and they only have one in the last three.
Yeah, their rush has slowed down.
I'm still going with the Chiefs.
I'm going Chiefs, too.
Yep.
It's a tough place to play, especially when the weather
starts
to turn.
You know what, though? I would not be surprised if Phillip Rivers has a day, you know, just because
I like Phillip.
He's capable of
he
that.
He certainly is.
You know, the stat on them is they gave up 49 sacks last year. They obviously drafted DJ Fluker, and they shored up the offensive line. But this year, I think they've only given up something like 13.
No, but they've had a lot. They tried to shear up. They had a bunch of injuries early. I mean, yeah. They're playing with King Dunlop out there, and then they had like 8 backups against
they've
us.
They've done a pretty good job because they've given up like 13 or 14 sacks.
We didn't get close to them.
No.
Not too many.
Not a sniff.
Panthers at the Dolphins.
Panthers.
I think I think I'm owed an apology by both Logs and Brunell about not believing in the Panthers and Cam Newton. I've been on that bandwagon since the start.
Yeah, as long as Cam has that defense, he'll be just fine, Tony.
He played very well last week.
He did play very well. I agree with you. On a big stage, I agree with you.
Very, very well. Cam Newton and the Panthers are for real, and they will keep it going and win.
I think the Panthers have the
and I'm going to call it right now. They will win the division. They will beat the Saints and win the division.
Ain't no way.
No chance,
Tony. I'll say this. The Carolina Panthers are probably feeling those three dreaded words that Gus Bradley talks about.
I got it.
I'm picking –
the Dolphins?
The Dolphins in an upset.
All right. Steelers, you know, coming off that big win last week.
Panthers.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Steelers coming off their big come-from-behind win against the Lions are at Cleveland.
What's the Steelers' record now?
They've won 4 games.
You know, they're still in the playoffs.
They've won the last 2. Actually, Ben's playing well. Yeah. Last 3 games, 9 touchdowns, 3 picks. I mean, they're kind of getting on a roll a little bit. I got the Steelers.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are still in that division. I mean,
where's it at?
Steelers are 4-6.
No, the game.
The Browns are 4-6. It's at Cleveland.
I'm going to take Cleveland.
I'm going Pittsburgh.
Cleveland's defense is ranked quite high.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cleveland.
Yeah, they got gashed against the Bengals last week.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going with?
I'm going Steelers.
Steelers.
Dog pound.
To keep things rolling. All right. Got to look here because New York. It didn't come back. New York at Baltimore. The Jets.
Baltimore.
You know that what Jets team's going to show
the
up?
The Jets lost last week, which means they'll win this week.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been back and forth the whole season.
I mean, flip a coin.
Yeah,
I'm going Ravens. My coin says Ravens.
Titans at Raiders. Titans have lost a couple in a row, and the Raiders are coming off a big win on the road. And Matt McGloin, all of a sudden,
he looked pretty good. Did you watch that tape? I was impressed.
I remember talking to
Penn State
their offensive coordinator. Who was here last year, Greg Olson, and he was telling me about McGloin at that point.
He's good.
And he said, look, he said, our best guy, because they drafted the other kid.
The kid from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Tyler Wilson.
Tyler Wilson. They drafted him, but they got McGloin in free agency as an undrafted rookie, and he was raving about him at that point.
I thought he was impressive. I watched the tape. I like him. I'm going to go with Raiders.
I'm going to go with Raiders, too.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Raiders. You know, and the crazy thing is that they're actually still playing well. With an offensive line.
They got 2 great tackles.
It's not very good.
Their tackles are dominating.
Whose?
Raiders.
Kalief Barnes is playing left.
Tony Pashos is right.
Big Tony Pashos is still in the starting lineup.
Tackles in Jacksonville in 2008. Why does that feel like a bad matchup? Colts at the Cardinals.
Colts.
Wow.
That's a good matchup.
Yeah, it's Colts.
I like the Cardinals.
I'm taking the Cardinals.
Because that front 7 will make it impossible for them to run. They'll put Patrick Peterson on T.Y. Hilton, and there's nowhere else for Mr. Luck to throw the ball.
Richardson?
Trent Richardson.
Yep. Trent Richardson will do nothing.
Well, he hasn't done anything all year.
I mean, he's done little. He will do nothing against the Cardinals.
Okay, I agree.
How about what Tom has done with the New York Giants?
Four in a row?
They're 4-6.
Well, it's November.
Four in a row. There you go. They take on the Cowboys, who are 5-5.
That party is ending.
No.
It's at New York.
Yeah. It's over.
So you think that
you're picking the Cowboys? Are you kidding me?
The Cowboys. Go look at the teams and the quarterbacks that the Giants have beaten. That's all you need to know.
It's Tony Romo, Mark's favorite.
Go look at the quarterbacks and the teams the Giants have beaten.
No, Giants.
All right.
No, I'm gonna go Cowboys because the three of the Giants' 4 wins, they haven't played anybody.
It doesn't matter. They got confidence.
Thank you.
No.
Sunday night.
Playing good defense, though.
Sunday night, the big one.
I'm going with the National guy.
Forget the Niners, Redskins on Monday night. How about Broncos and Patriots?
Patriots.
Pats.
Broncos.
Brady is 9-4.
You're going with
Peyton.
Jack.
Hmm?
You're taking Jack.
That's your boy.
I'm not taking Blondie. I'm taking
you
Peyton.
You and Blondie. We got Tom.
All right, guys. It's been an eventful evening. We'll see you in 3 weeks. Have a great night, everybody.